Please be seated. A few months ago, just out of curiosity, I decided to take the Ancestry DNA test. I knew a little bit about some German ancestry from my mother's side of the family, but I never knew much about my father's side of the family. You see, my great-great-grandparents on my father's side were Cherokee Indians. And trying to trace any lineage back very far had always been fruitless because of either poor or non-existent record keeping from many of the Native American tribes. So I guess I felt like $90 and a little spit in a test tube was a small price to pay to unlock centuries of stories about what made up my identity and what made me me. It took about 6 or 8 weeks to get my results, and I got an email from Ancestry.com and some login information, and I could not wait to see my story. But when I opened that email, I was dumbfounded. It turns out that I am 35% British, 29% Irish, and 31% Western European, which is an area that includes France, Germany, and Italy. And not one drop of Native American blood. How could that possibly be? I remember distinctly, clearly, a picture of my Cherokee great-great-grandparents that sat on a table in my grandparents' house. I remember as a child a distant relative coming to visit us and bringing all sorts of this really neat Native American stuff. I spent my entire life, no matter whether it was a school form, a health form, or an employment form, marking yes when asked if I had any Native American ancestry, because that's what I'd been told and that's what I believed. I called my brother. He, too, remembered believing that we came from a Native American heritage. My parents are deceased, as are most of the relatives on my father's side, so there's really no one else to ask. All of a sudden, I'd gone from this brave warrior fighting for my homeland to sitting in a pub in Ireland. Some of you might be able to picture that. And while, to be honest with you, this was not a huge identity crisis for me, I will admit that it was a little disconcerting to find out that you're not who you always believed yourself to be. That's because identity is important. For better or for worse, identity is how we define ourselves and is so often why we do the things we do. And there's power in your identity. There's power in knowing who you are and where you've come from and who you belong to. For me, identity is a large part about what today's gospel lesson is all about as we close this season of Epiphany, as we always do with the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. We got blazing faces and dazzling white clothes and ghosts of the past, and finally a voice that proclaims Jesus' identity, but not for the first time. Rather, it was a repeat of what was proclaimed at his baptism. This is my son, my beloved. I'm proud of him. So listen to him. And all that's great and wonderful, but frankly, it is a little weird. And for me, what happened on that mountain is not really the important part. For me, the important part is to remember that this story wasn't written this way for the disciples who were up on the mountain with Jesus at the time. Instead, the story was written for those who didn't make it up the mountain, folks like you and me. And because of that, I really think that this story is as much about our own identities as anything else. The disciples, they wanted to stay up on the mountain. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. Get up and let's go. Except the word that he used is far more than just get up. The word literally means to be raised. It's the same word used by angels to describe Jesus' resurrection to the women that went to the tomb. Jesus is telling his disciples to be raised. And don't be afraid. To literally be pulled from their lives of fear and failure to a new life of courage and of promise. And to claim an identity that is eternal, can never be defined for them, but most importantly, can never be taken away. It's an identity that doesn't hinge on what we do or where we've come from, but instead is forged in a promise to listen to him and then be raised to that new life and go. It is the very identity that we are about to promise for and with Elizabeth Bonham as we baptize her into the community of faith in just a few minutes. It's an identity based on a promise and a proclamation that we will all make for her. A proclamation that the Christian story is not about who we aren't or what we've done wrong, but rather begins with a word of resurrection that truly can cast out our fear and create unexpected possibilities and furnish us all with new life. It's an identity where we promise to strive, albeit inadequately, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors, ourselves, even when they don't seem to deserve it. It's an identity where we are empowered to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, not merely by reciting stories from an ancient book, but living into the love story that marks Christ's presence among us. It's an identity where, even when we don't always feel like it, we promise to strive for justice and peace for all people and respect the dignity of every human being, and somehow all that makes us different. And the voice who proclaimed his son, beloved, makes that same proclamation for each one of us. You are mine, that voice whispers again and again and again. My friends, when we remember who we are, when we settle this identity thing, and then remember it, the difference in us makes the world around us different, and it makes it better. We are free to give grace to each other because we have received grace. We are free to love because we have received love. We are free to serve because God has lavished his mercy on us. And we won't as often fail to miss the grace and the wonder that is present in the promise of courage and compassion that is so palpable when in God's presence. And slowly but surely, that will become our identity. And the journey we make with Christ reminds us that there most certainly are mountaintops and valleys along the way. Yet because of whose we are, we can always find ourselves gifted by those times and places where identity has nothing to do with worth or usefulness, but instead what we do is formed by God's graciousness and the promises we make to each other, living into our own God-created identities as blessed, as salt for the earth, as light for the world, and in whom God is very well pleased. And in the words of my ancestors, God loveth ye. Amen.